Today's program is brought to you by the Dairy Farm Families of Wisconsin, the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board. Did you know that today Wisconsin produces more than 600 varieties, types, and styles of American, international style, and original cheese that win more awards than any other state or country? To learn more, visit eatwisconsincheese.com.
Hey, what's up? This is Jack Inslee, host of Full Service Radio. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this show, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Pizza Party. I'm your host, Talia Ralph. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from none other than Roberta's Pizza in Bushwick, Brooklyn, in wafting distance from some of New York's best pizza. I could literally spend the entire show today enumerating the pizza expertise of today's guests, but I'll try it summing up neatly so we can get to the good stuff. Safe to say that there is true pizza royalty inside our humble studio walls. We have Tony Gemignani, for those of you who remain hidden under your pizza stones. He's an 11-time pizza championship winner. He's also the world's foremost pizza thrower. He runs the International School of Pizza, where he certifies the globe's next wave of pizza makers. He is the official U.S. ambassador for Neapolitan pizza, a title that is held by a total of 3 living human beings. He runs several restaurants throughout California and Las Vegas, and he's written 3 books about pizza, including a children's book and his most recent aptly named The Pizza Bible. Tony, it's a pleasure to have you on the show with us.
Thanks for having me.
So we have a lot to talk about, clearly,
yes,
but I always like to start at the beginning. So can you take us back to those family dinners in California and to your brother's original pizza shop, Paisano's, and maybe sort of tell us the moment where that switch flipped in your head and you were like, pizza, yes, this is what I want to do.
Now, I kind of remember that as a kid going to Uncle Joe's, this little pizzeria down the street from our family's house. My grandpa would take me there and I would get just double cheese pizza, and this Italian guy would be making our pizza, and I thought it was the greatest thing. I mean, like, just growing up, eating pizza was such a staple, and this little independent mom-and-pop shop would always make our pies. Then I did it for real. You know, I was 18 years old, getting out of high school, had no clue what I was going to do. Thought I was going to be a photographer, I was going to be a fashion designer, I don't know what. It's kind of one of those things, you know, you're getting out of high school, what do? My brother opened up a pizzeria called Paisano's. And that's where I made pizza, you know, for real. You know, somebody actually paid for it, and they were watching me make it. And I fell in love with it. You know, I looked at this thing, this organism that was living in front of me, and pushing it down, stretching it out, tossing it up in the air. And I just fell in love with it, and I wanted to make it better. And there's something that I always say in the industry is that you can always make it better.
Mm-hmm. Did you have someone who was sort of like a mentor? Did you just teach yourself on your own as you went? Like, how did you?
Yeah, you know, my brother had a couple guys working there, Jay, Rusty, and my brother. They would kind of do some tricks with throwing while we're kind of getting ready for prep. And it was one of those things. They would talk about guys they worked with and how great they were. Mm-hmm. And, you know, coming from playing soccer and playing sports my whole life, there's that competitive that's like really in you.
Right.
And, you know, I wanted to be better. I wanted to be the fastest pizza man. I wanted to throw out the highest, throw out the biggest, make the best pizza, or make the pizza that, you know, when you're young, you're always trying to make something that's never been done. So, you know, your creative skills are going in your head, trying to come up with the ultimate pizza. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I studied it. I lived it. I wake up eating pizza. I go to bed with pizza on me. So yeah, it's pretty crazy how this has been. It's been 23 years now.
Wow. So yeah, talk to me about the pizza throwing. We'll definitely put up some videos with your permission on the Facebook and Twitter later, because it's pretty incredible. But you are self-taught, I assume, because you started in 1991, pre-YouTube. So how did you learn pizza throwing, and what's like the pizza throwing culture like?
It's so cool that you said pre-YouTube. Yeah, so back in the day, I started in 91. I started doing tricks and getting people to come into my restaurant right away. In 1995, I entered, the first world championship that I competed with in Vegas. I actually went the year before and checked it out. Guy saw me and said, hey, you should do this. You're pretty good. And I said, you know, I think I'm going to wait. And this guy from New Zealand, Del Lovejoy, this pizza acrobat. He was hella good. And it was one of those times in your life that said, you know what, I'm going to come back next year and see how I do. Mm-hmm. I came back the following year, 1995. I ended up winning. And I was self-taught. And I mean self-taught. I mean, yeah, there was no videos back in the day. I mean, mm-hmm. you literally would be on stage. You'd watch these guys compete from Morocco, from Italy, from Thailand, from wherever. And you try and figure out what to do. It was like, you know, Tony Hawk trying to come up with a trick. Mm-hmm. And the next year he'd go and compete. And all of a sudden he's busting out the 360 or doing something. So, yeah, it was all about imagination. It was all about just practice. And mm-hmm. I remember making 200 pounds of dough, being in my garage and practicing till 4 a.m. awesome. Sounds kind of weird, but it's just one of those things that, you know, you get into. And then it was, you know, I would say I went to Italy in 2000, 2001. I won the world championships there. I retired from throwing. And back then, I really kind of focused on food. And that's where you saw in 2004, 2005 was when my first book came out called Pizza. You know, the Food Network kind of came around then with pizza. I won the first competition in cooking mm-hmm. That was ever involved around pizza. So a lot of people say, you know, they look at my career and they say, you're kind of like Michael Jordan. You were the slam dunk champion at the beginning. Everyone thought it was all for show. And then you kind of stopped that, learned how to play the game, understand the game, build the team, and you end up winning world championships. Mm-hmm. And you became a really well-rounded player.
Right.
Yeah, the acrobatics were early in my life, and now it's just really all about food.
Yeah. Okay. So you're the Michael Jordan of pizza. I like
people
that.
Always
I
say that.
Use in my, that in my
it's
intro.
Always that analogy. The Michael Jordan of pizza. The Babe Ruth. I don't know.
That's awesome. So speaking of books, I mean, we're definitely going to get to the Pizza Bible in a minute. But I'm actually in love with your children's book, which is called Tony and the Pizza Champions, and it's a fictionalized story about what I imagine is actually a pretty highly autobiographical part of your life, which is, you know, the journey to compete in the International Pizza Lovers Competition. So what inspired you to write that? And,
you know, I think at the time, you know, my wife was pregnant and, you know, I wanted to write a book about pizza. I didn't think that there was that many children's books about pizza. And this was a real life story. And when you look at it, it's, you know, Tony and the Pizza Champions. It's me searching for the best pizza acrobatic guys and or girls from around the nation to go to Italy. And yeah, real guys, Siler Chapman, Sean Browser, Joe Carlucci from New York. He's a famous pizza guy. Michael Shepard. We were a team that competed, and it's really about going to Italy, learning about different styles of pizza in the U.S. and all over the world, and even teaches kids how to make pizzas at the end of the book and be creative making pizza faces with using different ingredients like onions for blonde hair and freckles for oregano. Mm-hmm. And doing something like kind of cool and getting your kids just a fun book, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's cool to be able to do that, and they're real life characters, and I don't think you read a book that's like the pizza, you know, Tony the Pizza Champion, where you're actually able to go online and Google the guys and right. see them. So it's super cool.
You
yeah.
do like pizza maker baseball cards, like
yeah, it'd be
you can trade
cool,
them.
Huh?
So you actually just had a son about a month ago.
Yeah,
congratulations.
Baby G,
thank you. So how long are you gonna wait before you get him in the kitchen with you? What's the earliest?
I just bought him a little shirt in Little Italy today. You know, I'm getting him ready for pizza.
Oh, little chef's hat.
Yeah, you know. During the pregnancy, my wife was eating a lot of pizza, you know, so he has pizza in his blood. I know that. Giovanni Gianfranco Gimignani, Triple G.
Wow.
He's a super little guy.
It's a pizza franchise name waiting to happen.
Yeah, right?
Triple G's. We actually have GG's that just opened here. It's really good. In the Lower
GG.
East Side.
Well, Triple G's will be better,
yeah,
I think.
It'll be just that next level. So I have not yet been to the Pizza Expo and the World Pizza Championships. You have won 11 times and been how many?
Yeah, I've been there for over 20 years wow. now. Yeah, the International Pizza Expo is the biggest event on pizza. It's the Super Bowl of pizza. When you think of the world championships, there's really only three. There's Las Vegas, there's Northern Italy, and Southern Italy. So if you're to call yourself a world champ in cooking or acrobatics or something, you'd have to win at one of these mm-hmm. competitions. It's great. You'll love it. It's every manufacturer, every big hitter in the industry. I mean, chefs. I mean, everybody's kind of there. I mean, big and small. So it's pretty awesome.
So what's the vibe of the actual pizza competition like? Like, I mean, are you all in just like a giant room and you have a stove? Like, what does it look like? I'm sure the smell is
Well, there's amazing. Several different categories. There's on the acrobatic side, you have single acrobatics, biggest, fastest, but fastest box folder. And then you have on the baking side, you have traditional, non-traditional, gluten-free, Italian, and the pan division. There's competitors from everywhere, and I would say 95% of them are all independent operators. The judges come from all over the world: Scotland, England, Italy, US, Canada, Australia, New Zealand. People from all over the world are there, you know, to see, you know, who's the best.
Yeah. So,
and every year you have a different winner. Luckily, last year it was my chef who won. Two of my chefs won last year.
What was the
Laura
winning?
Meyer won in the non-traditional with her lamb and Greek style pizza, which came out pretty awesome with fresh pomegranates on it. And then the overall winner of everyone, the world champion, was Matt Molina from my restaurant Capo's. He did a cast iron skillet pizza. It's a pizza that you don't see very often. It's a pizza that originates really from Chicago. It's a hybrid of Detroit style meets Chicago cast iron. And it was one of those things. He's chiseling out this round cast iron. It's called the Dillinger. It was a smoked mozzarella chicken pizza, which I'm not big on chicken when it comes to pizza, but he did it. It had this Alfredo sauce with broccolini, artichokes. And it was just this pizza that sat in front of the judges, and the judges actually never seen it before.
That's awesome.
So it's super cool, and I'm there. There's 1,000 people there, and I'm telling them, explain the pizza, like behind the judges, explain it to
like
them.
Like the stage,
yeah,
mom.
And you know, yeah, I was just, like, yeah, loser stage. Explain it. I was jumping up and down. That's and awesome. Then he explained it. They ate it, and they were blown away, and they never had anything like it. Especially the Scottish judge that was there. He ate it. He's like, he turned around and said, I've never had anything like this before. And he's this big shot from Scotland. It was cool. I was really proud of both of them.
That's awesome. So what do you think it takes to win? And who are you sort of have your eye on this year?
Oh, well, for me, it's all about balance, you know, when it comes to pizza. It can't be about over complex doughs. It can't be about over complex ingredients. It's all about taking you through a journey. You know, you're eating this dough that, you know, has some complexity to it, but at the same time is not super sour where all you're having is you're tasting starter in the back of your mouth and you're like, okay. So it can't be overpowering, but at the same time, I think it's important to be down the Italian route, but it can't be too far-fetched. Where the meat and potato pizza, I mean, it sounds cool, it's good and everything, but it sometimes doesn't really do it. I think it needs to kind of go down that 5 ingredients or less where it's not overtopped, but at the same time, you know, it's fresh and, you know, awesome.
Yeah. And so do the judges get to eat all the pizza, or are there any?
The judges eat, and then they have to make 2 pies. One for the they get to choose which pizza they want to serve, and the other one goes to the guests. So yeah, if you're there, you'll definitely be able to eat a lot of pizza. Especially seeing all the flour companies, you know, you hear about a few, but you'll see every single flour company in the industry. You'll be able to get samples. You'll see every cheese manufacturer, salami manufacturer, oven manufacturer. I mean, like I said, it's a Super Bowl, really.
Are there water people? Because I actually have gotten into some like heated conversations. You hear it about bagels too in New York. People will credit the water as really what makes it.
The water is totally important. You know, I have reverse osmosis systems in five of my restaurants.
What does that mean?
San Francisco is San Francisco. I don't. Well, it's something that you like. If you taste water and you're tasting chlorinated water, which you don't want to use, hard, super hard water, you don't want to use in your dough. Remember, water is the second highest ingredient that goes in your dough. So a lot of people like in Florida have bad pizza, and a lot of times they'll have bad pizza and you'll say, well, do you drink your water out of the tap? And they'll say, no. And I'll say, do you put in your dough? And they'll say, all the time.
Yeah.
So why don't you drink it out of your tap? Because it's cloudy and it's gross and it's disgusting. Well, don't use it in your dough. So reverse osmosis takes everything out of your water. And really what I'm looking for is you're looking for your starter, or you're looking for your leavening agent to really create the flavor. So I have super kind of soft water that's, you know, added to my starter, and it's pretty awesome.
Cool. So speaking of regional water, the Pizza Bible, which is your latest book, it's built for home cooks. So what inspired you to sort of like bring the secrets out of the vault and out of your restaurants and into the homes of all these people?
You know, it's for me, it's never been a secret. You know, it's what's on the inside. I've taught a lot of people how to make pizzas, and it really, some people will take it to another level, and others will just be like, okay, been there, done that, and wasn't really excited about it. For me, I look at it as the independent operators, you know, we're all kind of in it. And then you look at these corporate giants that are kind of there. So to me, it's not a big secret. And I thought, you know, we needed a book for the home chef that had references now. And now, what I mean by now, from what I did my book, you know, 10 years ago, was I able to source grande cheese or a specific San Marzano or an olive oil I love? No. Mm-hmm. You know, now writing books, it's so exciting because, you know, now you can get professional ingredients in the home. Mm-hmm. And it's not always what the home chef's doing. You know, a lot of home chefs say, hey, what am I doing wrong? I can't make pizza good at home. It's not that they're doing something wrong. A lot of it is just they don't have access to the right ingredients. And now we have a book to show you tips, techniques from baking steels to the broiler method to high gluten flours to using malt or a browning agent at 500 degrees in your home oven. It's just all around a book that's every professional is going to have it on their shelf. But at the same time, every home chef is going to be all, wow, this book kicks ass.
Awesome. So I assume that you make pizza at home, although I don't know when you find the time. But what's your favorite style to make? Or what do you, when you're going home and you're making a pie for your family, what do you
make? You know, a classic Italian pizza, a pizza with, you know, soppressata picante, a hot pepper oil, arugula, you know, that Diavola pizza. That's a pizza that I love to make. I was making that a lot when my wife was pregnant.
Yeah.
And I was trying to get that baby out.
Lucky,
yeah, super spicy, double sauce.
Woman.
I mean, that's those are the things that you put on a pizza to really, you know, make that baby come out. It's you learn that in the pizza business. You've had a lot of women that have broken waters and had babies in my restaurants
from
over the years.
Spicy pizza,
always double sauce, super heavy on the, you know, on the sauce.
Wow,
double spiced and spicy. Yeah, we've had dozens actually.
Awesome.
Also, come back and just told us that they had it. I mean, like right after. So, I was working on that at home, making that Diavola pizza, that spicy pizza, as much as I can, just to make sure. So, yeah, that's what I've been making at home. When you think of the dough, that's probably the trickiest thing when it comes to a home chef and a high gluten, high protein flour. Like I said, at 500 degrees, just on bake or even convection bake, a browning agent. You know, you need that sugar, malt, honey, molasses in that dough to help it caramelize and brown. And another little tip is, you know, two stones or steels. You know, typically we're always going to the store and we're buying one pizza stone or pizza steel, which is kind of the hot new thing now.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to cooking at your home, you know, you really want to invest in two, not just one. So you have two cooking services, one to start it on and one to finish on. So mm-hmm. Yeah, it's an important tip. Buy two stones or steels.
Two stones and double sauce if you are trying to...
If you want that baby to come out, double sauce, extra spicy.
Yeah. You've like played a role in people's lives. You've changed the course of birthdays and histories.
I have.
Well, we have a lot more to talk about. We're going to take a super quick break, skip our pizza news brief. We will be back with that next week in favor of more time with Tony Gemignani, the author of three books, including most recent Pizza Bible and A Pizza World Champion. We'll be right back on Pizza Party.
Today's program is brought to you by the Dairy Farm Families of Wisconsin. the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board. Did you know that today Wisconsin produces more than 600 varieties, types, and styles of American, international style, and original cheese that win more awards than any other state or country? To learn more, visit eatwisconsincheese.com.
This is Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, and you're listening to heritageradionetwork.org.
Oh, good.
Welcome back to Pizza Party. We are speaking with Tony Gemignani, the author of The Pizza Bible and two other books, and the owner of multiple pizza restaurants across California and Las Vegas. Thanks for being with us, Tony.
Thank you for having me.
So you have multiple restaurants. What's the count right now? I mean, you're opening four more.
Yeah, but 8 going on 12. Wow. Yeah, it's pretty psycho, but it's good.
That's a big jump. So are they, it's Tony's Pizza Napolitano, Capo's, Cold Fire, you have Pizza Rock in Las Vegas, you have Slice House.
Yeah, so I have another Pizza Rock coming to Las Vegas. I have two more Slice Houses and a place going into Palace Casino called Little Tony's.
Wow. So, I mean, how do you manage all of them? And is it ever just like too much pizza, too much stuff going on?
It's tough, you know, because I'm a perfectionist. So it's you know, it took me 17 years to grow. Mm-hmm. I'm on my 23rd year now. So I grew pretty rapidly in the last, I'd say 3.5 to 4 years. But I really had to say, you know, I needed to do this for me. I'd kick myself if I turned 50 and I said, wow, what if? Mm-hmm. And I'm not a guy who's all about what if. I kind of want to do as much as I can. In the industry or what I'm doing, you know, during the time of my life. Yeah, it is hard because as you grow, it's all about your help. Mm-hmm. You know, you lead by example, you have a great team, but it's still tricky. And I think that's the hardest thing is just that growing and having that team with you as excited and passionate about what you're doing, about the food as you are.
Mm-hmm. For sure. So consider this an informal job posting. Any of you passionate pizza restaurant managers, Tony's might need you in Las Vegas soon. So do you have plans to open in New York anytime soon, or you're sticking to
not yet. West Coast. You're probably the 10th person on this trip that asked.
We all want to know.
I love New York. I have to say I've had some great pizza here. Every time I come, you know, you always say, wow, this is really San Francisco, New York are really all about the food. And you're always kind of blown away.
For sure. And you've like you've covered some good ground. We were talking before the show.
I probably gained like 7 pounds. Yeah, I'm trying to get to 10 by Saturday. So, yeah, I had some great pizza while I've been here. Prince Street Pizza. Mm-hmm. I had a great Sicilian slice, one of the best ones. The way he makes it, it's kind of funny. It's very similar to mine. His sauce is a little sweeter. But Frankie over there, you know, guys told me to go there. It was pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. I went to Pauly G's. It was good, really good. It was great. Of course, Roberta's when you're here. I've always been a Roberta's fan from actually the beginning. So I've been coming here, and they don't even know it. I've come here for a lot. A lot of people have copied what Roberta's has done, and, you know, they should be proud of what they're doing. Bleecker Street had a great slice. Went to John's, had a whole pie, had number 30, I think, sausage, pepperoni, onions and peppers. That was great. You know, you always kind of love John's and the old time favorites. You know, you caught me eating a cannoli this morning in Little Italy. Awesome. And Starita's, Don Antonio's and Queste. I mean, Roberto and Starita, those guys, I mean, it doesn't really get much better than that. So a lot of great pizza going on right now.
Where's Starita's?
Starita is in Hell's Kitchen.
Okay.
Yeah, Don Antonio's. It was packed. I was there on Monday night, and actually out of all the restaurants I went to, Starita's was crazy.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. I'll have to check that one out. So you have pizza places in some cities, and you showcase, you know, virtually every style in the book that, I mean, at least here, they tend to get a lot of flack. You know, California gets a lot of crap from like New Yorkers, Chicago style pizza. I'm not going to name names, but I have had people in the studio call it a pie with some sauce and cheese in it. So why do you think these pizza wars break out, and sort of what are your feelings on the diversity of styles going on in America? Is there a better or worse, or, you know, what's your take?
I celebrate them all. You know, it's like me like saying pasta. You know, I love spaghetti, hate linguine. No. I love manicotti and hate lasagna. No.
Nope.
So when it comes to pizza, I look at it as pasta. And if it's done right, it's awesome. But there's a lot of great pizza and a lot of, you know, crap pizza. And I've had a lot of good pizza in New York and bad pizza. Chicago, good pizza and bad pizza. California, a lot of bad pizza. But I've had some good pizza. You know, it's like a sport, you know. You're a Yankees fan, you're a Yankees fan. You're a diehard, mm-hmm. you know. You hate the Red Sox. So it's like, or vice versa.
But you
or
love
Dodgers
baseball.
And Giants. So it's kind of like one of those, you know, you grow up loving a team, and it's kind of like you grew up loving a pizza. Mm-hmm. For me, I love them all if they're done right. Like I said, that's why the Pizza Bible's here. And that's why Tony's Pizza Napolitana, you know, it's 7 ovens with 12 different styles of pizza. Wow. And Capo's has 5 different styles of Chicago pizza. It's really the only place that you can have a Roman that sits next to a coal fire, next to a Neapolitan, to a Sicilian, to a California, and all on one table. And you're like, wow, this is crazy. So, you know, I love it all.
That's crazy. So what do you see sort of coming up in the world of pizza trend-wise, or, you know, styles that haven't gotten their due that people are starting to get into? I mean, we've had the Roman thing sort of explode a little bit here in New York. What are you seeing?
Yeah, Roman's hot. You know, I went to a slice of Naples too. Roman is super hot. But pan pizzas are really getting hot. When you think of grandma pizzas, you see way more now at a slice shop than you did 5 years ago. You know, mm-hmm. that's really kind of hailing from Long Island, went to kind of Staten Island. Now it's all over Manhattan and Brooklyn. You see a lot more of those. Detroit style pizza. It's a pizza that a lot of people have never heard of. I remember when it went to the World Championships, so 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. I had a guy, Sean Randazzo, that was really popular making Detroit style pizza. I had him in my seminar at Pizza Expo. I told everyone this guy's probably going to win tomorrow. I had New Yorkers there. I mean, I had New Yorkers there like, what's Detroit style? The guy had his own shirt. He's like proud of it. Awesome. And all these guys from Brooklyn, New York, are like, I've never heard of it. What is it? Is it a Sicilian? Is it a grandma? Well, no, it is, but it isn't. You know, it's a pizza that's cooked in a blue steel pan. It's with either a brick cheese or a blend of brick cheese and a white cheddar. The sauce goes on top. You char and almost burn the residual, like, kind of cheese that are on the corners. You chisel it out. Ingredients go on the bottom. Yeah, it's kind of like a grandma that, you know, went out with the cheddar, and all of a sudden you have this, like, awesome mac and cheese kind of pizza. Well, Sean did win. It became the style that no one ever heard about, to it being one of the most talked about progressive styles in the industry. You see guys like Smokovich doing it in Colorado. You see guys that are doing it in Austin. The Hunt brothers are making great pizzas. They're considered one of the best pizzas in Austin. Cloverleaf. But when you really think of Detroit style pizza, you're thinking of the 40s to the 50s of Buddy's Pizza in Detroit. Mm-hmm. If you're from Detroit, Buddy's, Cloverleaf, Detroit style pizza company, even Shields, those are like the Lombardi's, Totono's, Grimaldi's of New York. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you're seeing it go nationwide. I started it before it became a trend. And I don't even know if it's trend yet. Detroit, because it hasn't hit really New York,
we
right?
We don't have it. I'm waiting for it.
So when you do see it and have it, you'll say, wow, Tony was right. Other tavern pizza, bar pizza, you're hearing this pop up everywhere. It can be a lot of different things. When you think of Chicago cracker thin, even St. Louis cracker thin cut into squares, could be a super sweet sauce or malted dough. You're going to see tavern bar cracker thin pizzas popping up everywhere now.
All right. We'll keep our eyes out, and please, Detroit style pizza makers, come here. Cause when I saw that in Pizza Bible, that was one of the things
everyone's talking about. Thank you.
So you certify pizza makers from around the world at the International School of Pizza. What do you train them in, and what sort of separates them from a non-certified pizza maker?
I certify about 60 chefs a year from all over the world. They can either go in two courses, classic Italian and Neapolitan, or they can go into another category that's classic American, which is subcategories, Detroit, New York, Sicilian, kind of everything under that manner. It's a 5-day to 6-day course. After they take that course, they take a test. They work in the restaurant all 5 to 6 days. And then they go off and, you know, hopefully they practice that craft that they learned, you know, 150,000 times, and they open. Some guys are opening next week. Some guys are really kind of babying it and taking some time. Mm-hmm. Anywhere from Minnesota to Taiwan, everywhere. I've had operators, I guess you could say probably over 500 operators I've certified.
Oh, nice.
But just like any school, you know, like I say, it's like a lot of doctors leave and become great, and other doctors, you know, get their degree and then they don't. So it's pretty diverse. A lot of people are jumping in the pizza industry. They got real estate agents and depressed stockbrokers that are like jumping into the industry and saying, I want to do pizza. What, you know, teach me.
Hey, I might show up there like frazzled radio host,
just like shivering in the rain. Please teach me.
So this is sort of like a more philosophical question I like to ask anyone that comes through the studio, and it's sort of a two-parter. So what is it about pizza that makes you personally so obsessed about it, and why do you think it's become this global phenomenon that it has, that you have, you know, the stockbrokers and people showing up at your door to learn how to make it and just freaking out about it?
I think when you have it as a little kid, you fall in love with it. It's easy to fall in love with, you know, the dough, the sauce, the cheese. It's fun. You can create your own. I mean, you can get as technical as you want, or you could just be fun having just a plain cheese. And you fall in love with it as a kid, and it stays with you for your whole life. You know, it's literally with you your whole life. And I think it's something that's so easy to fall in love with. There's a piece of just opening a pizza and making, being one with it. And it kind of takes you away from everything. Even now it's kind of chaos for me.
Like, but my bite.
Yeah. And it's so good. It's so simple, but yet complex, you know, but at the same time, you could take it really seriously, like some of these guys do, or you could just not take it so seriously and just enjoy it. You know, and I think it's so universal. It's worldwide. You know, respect the craft is a slogan I have. It's on my boxes. It's tattooed on my hands. It's kind of what I live by. Mm-hmm. It's funny, when I looked at pizza at the beginning, I thought I knew it all. I was in the business for 10 years. I kind of traveled around the world a bit. Then I went to Naples. Mm-hmm. I went to Trianon with my wife. I ate a margarita, and it was one of the most amazing things. It was 70 seconds. It was 900 degrees. It was wood fired. It got in front of me in like less than 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. And I looked at it and I realized I knew nothing. It was like making a tamale and not understanding how to make beans and rice or something. It was just like one of those things like, well, God, I thought I knew it all. And I've been in the pizza industry for 10 years and I'm looking at this. I'm like, I don't know how to make this. Mm-hmm. And I looked at my wife. She looked at me like, what are you, like a weirdo? Just eat it. And I'm like, no. I studied it and I went back to the basics and understanding the methods and understanding the science. And you can always keep learning and creating. And I think if we respect the craft, it's important to understand whatever we do. And something I learned in the middle of my career. And I fell in love with it all over again.
For sure. Do you think there's any other food, either group or individual dish, that sort of compares in terms of international reach or level of obsession?
I mean, other than rice, you know, and bread. You know, I think when you think of rice and bread, I mean, those are kind of a standard in most cultures. But just getting bread and slapping some ingredient on it, and calling it a pizza, I guess you could do that. So yeah, I think it's really the most popular food in the whole world. A lot of people in the U.S. say burgers and pizza, they're almost close to being the same. And burgers, of course, have taken a giant leap lately in the last 5 years. It's worldwide, and you'll see it at Expo. Mm-hmm. When you go to Expo, you'll see Russians, Turkey, you'll see everybody just there. It's a phenomenon that, and it's so giant, but at the same time, it's so kind of small. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And everyone's there and having a good time. It's pretty awesome. A lot of characters at Pizza Expo.
I'm so excited. Yeah. Well, we will be there. Pizza Party will be there, guys. Don't worry. We'll take you with us. We are just about out of time, but where can people look for you next if they want info about the book, if they're curious about...
Oh, yeah, just thepizzabible.com. If you go to thepizzabible.com, it's a hub for anybody that wants to learn how to make pizzas or have a question about pizza. It really revolves around the book and just anything in the kitchen. Just go ahead and ask a question or come on and take a look.
Perfect. Well, awesome. We sadly have no more time to talk about pizza. We're going to go eat some, but thank you so much to Tony Gemignani for gracing us with your pizza expertise and presence in the studio today.
Thank you.
This has been another wonderful episode of Pizza Party, broadcasting live on Heritage Radio Network from none other than Bushwick, Brooklyn. You can also catch us anytime on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Huge thanks to Roberta's for supplying our on and off air pizzas this season. Thanks to my sponsor, the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board. To the fine musicians of Pizza Party Bass for our intro song. You can find more from them at soundcloud.com. My wonderful and always cool under pressure engineer, Liz. And of course, all of you out there for listening. We will see you next week, where we will be talking one of my personal favorite combinations, the pizza bagel. And yes, of course, there will be pizza. Have a good one, guys.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.